This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:04, it's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Security National Bank with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Midwest Basement Technologies. Call 618-372-7077. By the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. By Kurtz 24-Hour Heavy and Light Duty Towing in Blitchfield, and by Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. And now it's time for the guys. Here they are. It's Tim Mize and Uncle Ralph.
Tobinat, thank you very much, and welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday, the last Saturday in April. What happened?
Flew by.
It sure didn't. It got wet all of a sudden.
Yeah, it did. One of the wettest Aprils on record.
That's right. So we had a lot of baseball and softball games that got wiped out this month, but there was a nice slate of games yesterday. We'll get into that as the show moves along, but we've got a very special guest in our WSMI studios, Macoupin County historian Tom Emery joining us. Is that an official title?
You can call me whatever you want. I don't like to be called local historian, but whatever you want to call me.
Macoupin County work for you?
Whatever you want to call me. All right. Sounds good.
Macoupin County historian.
And especially he likes to be called at lunchtime.
Well, who doesn't, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Us folks in radio, we love to be called at lunchtime.
Oh, yeah.
One of our better traits. Tom Emery has written a new book. He has, of course, been known around the area for his historical documentation of various events around the area, and he's got one now on the Macoupin County Boys Track Meet, and this is volume one of what will be a three-part series, and the last part will focus on the history of the girls' track meet in Macoupin County. But Tom, I guess just start off by talking a little bit. This is Milestones and Memories, Volume 1. And like a lot of things in Macoupin County, there's a long, rich history of this track meet.
Absolutely. The Macoupin County track meet, boys track meet, started in 1904. It's considered one of the oldest continuous meets in any sport in Illinois state history. And I don't think people realize today that sometimes track gets pushed to the background, you know, behind football, basketball, certainly in this area. But back then, track was the sport in a lot of places because football was still in its infancy. They were still playing, not really playing varsity games, same thing with basketball, whenever they could. Track was a really big deal at the time. Some of the early Macoupin County track meets drew as many as 3,000 spectators in early part of the 1900s, not the teens, whatever. The Chicago and Alton and Illinois Terminal lines would actually run special cars to the Macoupin County track meet. It was front page news, and most county papers got a lot of column space and was considered the preeminent event in Macoupin County every year, bigger than the county fair or anything else. It was a real happening for a long time.
And, of course, back then, it was a period when sports-wise, track, boxing, horse racing, I mean, those were really the main sports that people got interested in.
And looking at track back in those days, excuse me, you had some super, I guess you call them super athletes involved in track, which maintained the popularity of the sport. You know, you had some guys that went on to the Olympics and, Montgomery County, for instance, Mr. Osborne years ago was quite a track star and went to the Olympics and done well, and several other people. And so, and then you had your runners, Jesse Owens, and these people that just kept track at the front of the line.
Well, it's kind of gotten to the point in modern times where the top flight athletes are playing football and basketball more so than really focusing on track. You get them, they run track, but it's more of an afterthought. But Tom, when you got into this, the research of this book, I mean, you're back into the early 1900s to where it was the top athletes, track is what they did.
Absolutely. And Macoupin County produced a lot of top athletes, as you mentioned. I can think of a few off the top of my head. From Carnival, you had Leland Tiny Lewis, who won seven individual disciplines from 22 to 24, went on to play football at Northwestern University in Evanston and played 2 years in the fledgling NFL. I say fledgling because it wasn't a big deal. He played for the Portsmouth team, I think, one of the little towns they had then. You had people like Truman Landon from Carbonville, who went on to be a four-star general. He was also a county champion in 1924. And all the little schools before in the days first consolidation were prominent as well. Palmyra, for example, had a lot of top stars, particularly in the field events, and it would stand to reason big, strong farm boys would do well in field events.
Yeah.
You know, Modesto, another one. There are actually 16 county schools in that meet at one point. Now we have, what, eight that sponsor track in some way or participate in track? But they had 16 schools in it at one point.
So I guess, Tom, if you could, let's go back a little bit. The 16 schools in Macoupa County back then were what?
Well, the meet began with actually four schools, and one wasn't even in Macoupa County to begin with. The original four in this group were Carbonville, Girard, Verdon, and Auburn in Sangamon County. But again, that stands to reason because the Chicago and Alton and Illinois Terminal lines connected all those four towns as the leads to get to, and they were the ones that really had the most interest, so to speak. See if I can get all these. In addition to the schools that exist today, you had Brighton High School, Shipman High School, Bunneld, which closed in 1961, Modesto, Palmyra, Scottville, and Chesterfield, which actually was won two straight county titles in 1923 and 1924 and finished second in the state meet in 1924 to Girard. We'll talk about that a little later on. And I'm losing one or two here. You want to help me out here, Uncle Ralph?
You did pretty good, though. Uncle Ralph probably
knows. I draw a blank on that, and Tom, as to who, you know, without writing them down or something on a piece of paper and then looking who have we left out here, it's kind of hard to do. But
I know there's people in Coupon County probably upset I couldn't remember all those. So
yeah.
You did pretty
if
good,
I forgot you, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you done well. And I guess Tim is some guy on this show always says on Saturday morning, the reason of the demise a little bit of track is a magic word, M-O-N-E-Y, in football and basketball and baseball that attracted the better athletes.
Well, yeah, track traditionally isn't thought of as one of the revenue sports, but
right.
You're talking about back in the day, 3,000 people coming in to watch this track meet. When you were getting into your research, were you able to find out, like, what were they charging to get into this meet?
In the late teens and early 20s, I think they're charging 35 cents to get in. And you had a full day's activity because it wasn't just track. And I think this is one of the interesting things that people don't realize. It was what was called the Macoupin Oratorical and Athletic Association, the MOAA. It was a two-part affair. You would run track in the afternoon. If it was in Carbonville, it would be the old Macoupin County Fairgrounds near the current Macoupin County Historical Society. But in the morning, you had the literary contest, which was equally a big deal. You would meet in the Carnival Opera House, for example. They had to have a large building. In fact, one year they had in Gillespie, they had to have it in a tent because there were so many people, no building could hold them. You would have literary, declamation, music, song, all these type of things were more academic artistic pursuits. People could become county champions in that.
Hmm.
The overall winner of the MOA was whoever won all the declamation stuff, the literary things, and the track meet. So that was a very big deal. Now, I've just listed the track champions here, you know, whoever won the track competition. But they'd all come to Carbonville. It was usually in Carbonville. They had other different places. Have all their literary contests in the morning, then in the afternoon go out and run the track meet. And it was just a day-long party, really.
And it's good to know that smack talk even existed way back then, like, for instance, saying that you're going to parade your goat around
the town. The goat story. One of the last years that Auburn was in, and this was out of the Auburn Citizen, their newspaper, and that ran for 2 or 3 weeks at the time. Auburn was going to bring a goat to Carbonville to the meet. If they won the meet, they're going to parade the goat through the streets of Carbonville holding a sign as, "We've got your goat." If they lost, they were going to ceremoniously present the goat to the winning school with a sign, "You got our goat." As it was, Girard won. And the headline the Auburn says in the next week was, "Auburn loses its goat."
You spoke earlier of the 3,000 people attending some of these meets, and I can remember back in the 40s, track meets, and they had kind of a, as you said, party atmosphere to them. They were all-day events. People would come and watch whatever they wanted to or watch all of it. And at noon, they would have maybe bring a sack lunch or a picnic lunch and have lunch on the grounds. And they'd have a short intermission while people done this. But it, as you said, was a big event.
It really was. And, you know, entertainment options were limited at the time. Obviously, you didn't have TV. Radio was in some of these earlier days. Air conditioning wasn't around. And, you know, things that really revolutionized things in the 1950s. Movie theaters weren't around, you know, because even the so-called talkies were a little ways away, and sound pictures weren't every place. So entertainment options are rather limited. It stands to reason this would be a big deal, but still interesting to think about 3,000 people coming to a literary contest and track meet, no matter what you say. And it was, I think it's part of the charm and the real interesting things that make this event special.
Tom Emery, historian, has a book on the Coupon County Track Meet. The history of it is volume one. There will be a three-part series, and we're going to get to a break here, but what's the time frame for volume two and volume three?
I'm actually starting work on those immediately. The number one took me a lot longer to do than I thought, but I'm going to try to have these done sooner. And I got to say real quick, I got to give a lot of credit to Dave Yokish, the former Carnival Boys track coach, who it was his idea to do this project, his conception. He was tremendously supportive throughout. This will support all the track teams in Macoupin County High Schools. They're each getting a number of copies they will sell for their own fundraising. So we did this kind of as a benefit. As Dave Yokish thought that was a great thing to do, as did the late Andy Easton, who was also involved in this project before his death. He compiled a lot of the records I use in this and was a guiding spirit throughout. So this wouldn't have been possible, certainly without Dave Yokish and Andy Easton as well.
More with Tom Emery coming up after this break.
Are you spring cleaning? Ever wonder how to tackle the stacks of statements and bills? Sign up for Security National Bank's online and e-statements and view them in your internet banking or download them from our secure site. You can then tackle that stack of bills by using our bill pay, which is free when you sign up for e-statements. Call your local branch to find out more information or sign up today. Security National Bank, big enough to serve you, small enough to know you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Kurd's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing has moved to the Goodyear building behind Denny's in Litchfield. Kurd's has commercial Goodyear tires and complete exhaust, and now is a Hertz car rental agency. And, of course, heavy and light-duty towing. Kurd's crew cab rollback can transport your family and your car. Kurd's 24-hour towing can tow anything from your semi to your motorcycle. When you need a tow, remember 324-2400. Kurd's 24-hour towing in Litchfield. Remember 324-2400.
And at 9:17, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Cloudy skies for today. Showers likely. We'll have highs in the upper 50s. Showers likely for tonight. We'll have lows of around 50 degrees. Heading into tomorrow, cloudy skies, there is a chance for some morning rain. We'll have a high of around 65 degrees on Sunday. At 9:17, we have a temperature reading of 51 degrees, and the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
April showers bring Mayflowers, as well as leaky, wet, and musty basements and crawl spaces. Midwest Basement Tech has a permanent guaranteed solution. If it's leaking, cracking, buckling, or sinking, there's only one place to call. Midwest Basement Tech at 1-800-848-9805. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years with local service techs and free estimates. Don't make a mistake with your home's foundation repairs. Call now 1-800-848-9805 or visit them on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com for money-saving coupons.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
Spring is here and it's time for warm weather clothes, and if your clothes are just a bit snug, it's time to start that diet sensibly with farmer-owned Prairie Farms dairy products. Prairie Farms dairy products are fresh, wholesome, and they taste great too. Try Prairie Farms Trim and Light cottage cheese and yogurt. Top it off with a tall, cool glass of Prairie Farms skim milk. You're on your way to a slimmer, healthier you. And for nutrition on the go, plastic pints of 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice. Taste the homemade goodness of farmer-owned Prairie Farms.
And at 9:19, let's head back to more Sports Saturday for you. Once again, here's Tim Byes and Uncle Ralph.
Tobinat, thank you very much, and we're happy to be joined by Tom Emery in our WSMI studios this morning talking about his new book on the history of the Macoupin County track meet. And Tom, you mentioned it briefly before we went to the last break, but Dave Yokish and then the late Andy Easton, there's not really two better people in Macoupin County that you could use as, I guess, guides for a project such as this.
Absolutely not. How this came about, actually, was I was doing a walking tour of the Carbonville City Cemetery for the Macoupin County Historical Society in August of 2009. Dave Yokish was there, and I didn't really know Dave that well. You know, I never had any class with him, didn't really know him that well. He came up to me and said that at some point he'd like to see a history of the Macoupin County Boys Track Meet. I thought it was a good idea, and I said, well, let's keep in touch over it. We kept in touch for, you know, quite a while after that. And finally I said, well, if we're going to do this, let's go ahead and get going because I may not have the opportunity later on. So he brought Andy Easton into it because Andy was the unquestioned authority on all things of Macoupin County sports history. And it kind of took off from there. But like I said, what we're going to do with it is copies of this are going to benefit all the track teams of Macoupin County High Schools. They're going to be the ones who profit off this. So if you contact your local high school, and their press releases went out this week mentioning each contacts in each school, if you buy one of those, the entire proceeds go to support that school's track program. You know, whatever you do, I get 100% of it. So we felt like we could do some really quality history, tell a great story, document a big part of Macoupin County sports history as well as Macoupin County history, but also benefit the high school track programs. We're really proud to do that.
How challenging is it? I mean, obviously you know how to research things from all your different projects, but you start getting back into 1904, 1908. I mean, goes without saying, obvious statement, record keeping wasn't exactly the same as it is now. So what was the process of digging into the early days of this track meet?
Well, the records have been the winners have been compiled by Andy Easton over the years, which I was able to tap into that. But trying to find the narrative, telling the story behind the story, and how this came about became the challenge for me. I'm used to doing this type of stuff because I spent plenty of hours in front of newspaper microfilm and, you know, old books and what have you. And I spend a lot of time going through microfilm of local papers, not just in Carbonville, but of other county schools. I spent time at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library, which has the largest newspaper microfilm collection in the world in Springfield. And I did a lot of my research up there as well, tried to get other papers that I could use. Well, the Auburn goat story came from that, for example. And it wasn't, you know, the early MOAAs were covered so well by county papers that I had a surprising amount of information to pick from, because it might take up two or three columns of your front page, your local newspaper, for those meets. And it was a pleasant surprise getting there and finding that.
Were you able to kind of narrow down maybe a time frame when, I don't know how to say this without sounding almost dismissive, but where the track meet kind of hit its high watermark and then started maybe on a bit of a downward descent? About when was that?
The late 1920s.
That was it, huh?
Yeah. The 1924 MOA is probably the greatest county track meet in our history, because now this is why it gets kind of interesting, because at that time the state track meet, which is called the Interscholastic Track Meet, some interesting title like that, was actually run the week before the county meet.
Huh.
We had a two-class system in Illinois from 1914-1925, dividing schools of above or below enrollment of 400. In 1924, at the state meet, which was in Champaign, Girard High School won the Class B state title, followed by Chesterfield in second place. Whitehall and Carbonville tied for fourth. So you had the top four finishers within 40 miles of each other. Now, you'd think that was a big deal, but, yeah, they're proud of it. Yeah, the front page Girard paper had a few paragraphs on it, but the big thing was the MOAA, the Macoupin County meet the next week. And Chesterfield prevailed in the rematch in a very close three-way race. So that was what people really thought about. So you had three high-ranking state teams in the Macoupin County meet, and that's what people really talked about. Still in the going to the mid-late 20s, there were still a lot of glory from Macoupin County track. Now, the golden decade of Macoupin County track to me was the 1920s. After that, partially because of the Depression, partially because of other things, the meet became less profitable, maybe a little less attended, and it's kind of a decline, although certainly not for the action on the field or wherever.
Have you seen, I guess, I mean, I'm from Macoupin County, born in Bunker Hill, still live there. What is it about Macoupin County? Because we see, you know, they've got the basketball tournament that's one of the longest running county tournaments in the state. What is it about Macoupin County that just seems to breed this type of activity?
I think when you live in areas like we live, I think tradition's a big deal. I think it's hand down from grandparents to parents on. People grew up watching it. They grew up wanting to be a part of it. There, I found stories in this of people saying that of young boys saying, I tried to emulate the track stars, tried to imitate. Well, that's kind of an interesting thing if you think about it. They want to be like that. And I think it just goes from generation to generation. It's not right to say life doesn't change in Macoupin County because life changes everywhere you are. Your society evolves, what have you. But there are some things I think that people want to hold on to. And I think in this area, I think that's something we really take a look at. And it becomes such a tradition that no one wants to change it. Everyone keeps building and everyone wants to experience it.
Let me pick your brain on that a little bit, Tom. You made a good point there. You said looking up, and maybe even to the point of some track star and hero worship, if you want to call it that, of somebody who had done well and stuff. In your lifetime, and you've been doing this and covering this for a long time, myself, I think I have seen a trend of going away from this in our generations today of actually looking up to someone as a hero. I don't see this in, and it's not a knock on the youth of today, but I don't see this like I did in my day when you thought these people were, you know, I grew up in the area, the Ted Williams and the Joe DiMaggio's and those guys, and you really thought they were heroes, mm-hmm. or track stars or whatever your field was. And to me, I think one of the demise of some of this stuff is I don't see that that worship or whatever you want to call it anymore.
I agree. I think people are more individualistic, and I don't mean that in a good way.
Yeah.
I think we're a nation that looks for heroes, and that could be that's another story for another day, absolutely. But I think you're right. I don't think people look to their peers. I don't think they look to their families. You know, most important people in my life were my mother and my grandfather, without question.
Yeah.
But I think people don't look. I think when it, even like that, you know, it's interesting to think of a 11, 12 year old looking up to high school students. But when I was around that time, people did that.
Oh, and yes.
I'm 41. You know, it wasn't that many years ago, but you don't really see that today. Mm-hmm. But I think it's part of why that tradition keeps going. They want to be a part of it. They think, I want to grow up and do that.
Yeah, or be like that person. Right. And I don't see, and it's not a knock on youth today, but I don't see that image projected anymore where they want to be like so-and-so or they want to grow up and follow in his footsteps in whatever the field may be. I think it's still there to a degree, but I don't think it's as strong as it was, say, 25 years ago.
Right. I agree.
Tom Emery joining us here in our WSMI studios to talk about his new book on the history of the Macoupin County track meet. So we've kind of talked about the early days of the track meet, and let's get into a bit of the modern times, I guess, mm-hmm. of the meet, if you will. And me personally, when I think of track in Macoupin County, I think of Carlinville. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've had tremendous success. All sorts of great athletes have come through the Carlinville track program. Obviously, Dave Yokish had a lot to do with that.
Absolutely.
In his long tenure as the head coach there. Just talk a little bit, if you could, about kind of the evolution of the Carlinville track program in relation to the Macoupin County track meet.
Carlinville actually won the Macoupin County meet 25 times in 26 years from 1948 to 1973.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's decent.
They won it 20 straight years, lost in 1968 to Staunton in a meet that came down to the final event, the mile relay. Staunton won, and a lot of those guys are very proud of that, and Staunton's they should be. I talked to one of them there. They still remember that very well. Carlinville only managed a fifth-place finish in the mile relay, and Staunton won the meet 47-46. Carlinville came back and won it 5 more years after that. And certainly in the era that I'll be covering after this, they won year after year. Dave won 21 titles in his career. Carlinville, I think, was able to benefit from several things. One, I think their tradition. People mm-hmm. wanted to keep it going. I think they had coaching stability. They had coaches that were there for a long, long time. I think that helped. But they also had superior depth. If you look at a lot of the years that Carlinville won, they really didn't win that many disciplines, but they placed people in all those disciplines. For example, they might only win one, two, three disciplines a year, but because they were so deep, they had people that were competitive in all the disciplines. They racked up points. That really put them over the top. And they won pretty much every which way. They won the squeakers. They won the blowouts. You know, what have you. They just found a way to keep going. And if you talk to those athletes at the time, they say, we didn't want to be the team that lost that. We want to keep that tradition going. I think that was a key motivator.
You mentioned the different events, and it refreshed something in my mind. The first track meet back in the day, how many events were there, like, initially in this Macoupin County meet? Were you able to find out, like, how many events they had?
I forget how many off the top of my head, but they had meets we don't have today. For example, they had the 50-yard dash, blink of the eye event, which was just continued in 1938. We're talking a few minutes ago about the ball throw.
Yes.
Yeah, that different thing. 12-pound hammer throw. Things like that, things we don't see today. But they still had the things we talk about, such as 100, the 200, the 400, pole, whatever, the traditional things.
And one of the neat things about your book is you've got all the times and a lot of the records from, the early days all the way up to now.
And that's Andy Easton.
And that's all Andy Easton right there. But it's interesting, like, I was looking at the 100-yard dash and about how you can just see it when it's year by year, you just see it slowly ticking down, a tenth of a second here, a half of a second there.
And I think one thing for that is, for as much passion as they had in the early years of the meet, as much excitement was, they didn't have the training, they didn't have the coaching, they didn't have that type of regimen. They didn't have meet after meet like we have today. Kit people had several meets coming in. Back then, sometimes the only one they might have was a Macoupin County meet. So I think with as practice, training, coaching regimens evolved, so and athleticism has certainly evolved, so too has the improvement in performance.
Of course, Dave Jokic has had a lot to do with that in the area in terms of his speed camps and those other things that he's done. And, I mean, track and field, it really is the true test of an athlete. I mean, football, basketball, baseball, they're more popular now. But if you want to know how good of an athlete somebody is, you get him on the track, you get him on the infield there, and you'll find out what's happening.
And track is a surprising team sport because you are trying to win as a team. But at the same time, it's kind of on you. And I'm free to admit I was not a track athlete. Did you run track in high school?
I ran track in junior high because I was forced to.
Did you really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But running into me never jived so much.
But, for track athletes, the ones I've talked to, and if you're listening out there, I'm sure you said that, you're kind of out there by yourself. Yeah. And you may have the team aspect, but at the same time, it's you.
Another influx into track in the recent years has been the, as in basketball and other sports, has been the prominence of the female athlete coming into track. Back yon, that wasn't there, but now we have some tremendous female athletes getting into track.
Yes, you do. The first Macoupin County girls meet was held in 1973, and that'll be part three of my book. Northwestern High School, where I've been the PE announcer for many years, was the first girls county champion in Macoupin County. I think the first varsity girls sport in Carnival, I believe, was track that year. And that was in the era of Title IX. And obviously girls sports just weren't that big of a thing back then. Their participation rates weren't as high. Their interest certainly wasn't there. But I think, talk about the evolution of a sport, I think girls sports on the high school and college levels, the evolution in about 40 years has been tremendous because the level of participation, the level of interest, the passion that people have for it. I think that's a story all its own.
And Tim, more than I am, but I still do occasional broadcasts of girls basketball, and I have seen incidents when the competition level was there where a given girls basketball game outdrew the boys.
Oh, yeah.
As the crowd, so that's all come about in the last few years.
Well, Tom, you asked me if I ran track in high school, and I did not. But at junior high, I remember going to the Macoupin County Junior High track meet, and that was a big deal. Like, that was the preeminent event, like, for the junior high track season, was going to that meet. And I remember it being very well attended for being a junior high sporting event, which don't usually draw the big crowds, but that one did.
Sure. And when I say that, they drew 3,000 way back when, I'm certainly not saying that it's not a big deal now, because the Macoupin County meets are a very big deal.
Yeah.
They still draw very well. I draw the contrast because it's hard to imagine 100 years ago, 2,000 or 3,000 people converging on a small town and the lack of transportation, what have you, being able to do that. But the Macoupin County meet today remains a very important event in the minds of people in this area.
I told you while we were off the air, I'd share a bit of history with you. in 1939, of course, the rural country schools were still in existence, and they had a county track meet. Montgomery did. Now, I don't know if Magoopin or other county did, but Montgomery County had a track meet for all of the country schools. And in 1939, I went to a little country school called Montgomery, and there was four boys and one girl, and we decided that we was going to compete in the, it was strictly volunteer, but we was going to compete in the county track meet. And it was held at the, what is the Beckemeyer School in Hillsborough now. And five of us, and we went in there with all of the county country schools, and we won that tournament.
There you go.
Five of us.
How about that? I feel sorry for that girl.
She was the one that put us over the hump, and as Tom mentioned a while ago, she was today would have been a outstanding athlete, but back then, even then, she was. And she won several things like the softball throw and all that stuff, you know. And she's the one that, and she could run like a deer. But, I'm still proud of it today.
And you should be. Yeah. And, Tom, as we were talking about the history of the Macoupin County track meet, from your research and talking to Dave Jokisch and compiling what you compiled, do you have a list that you can give us, maybe just, you know, a rough list of maybe who would be the top, like, couple of track athletes in the history of Macoupin County? Is that something you were able to get into?
Well, you know, because I did only the first 75 years of the meet up to now.
Yeah.
The first name that comes to mind, and the first name on anyone's lips is Babatunde Ridley,
right,
from the mid-90s.
Right.
But if you're looking at the older times, Scott Wyatt from Gillespie won eight disciplines, won four each year, I think, in 1978 and 79. Earl Bullman from your town of Bunker Hill racked up 19 points in the 1913 meet, comes to mind. Tiny Lewis, we mentioned him. Those are the names I would think of first. I've also got to mention, while Carbonville was very strong, Gillespie had very formidable teams as well. Not only was Jerry Grandoni a tremendous coach, but he was a top athlete of his own in 59 and 60, and is one of the real gentlemen of the sport, without question, but also shares Dave Jokisch's love and passion for that sport like few others you'd ever see.
When you research a book like this, going back all, really basically back a century, you're obviously going to come across a lot of neat stories, a lot of neat anecdotes. We talked about the goat story. Mm-hmm. What were some of the other really interesting things that you came across as you were researching this book?
I talked to a number of different people about this. I want to try to get as many different aspects as possible because everyone experienced different things. The 1976 Gillespie team might be a good one to talk about, too, because they won 13 disciplines and racked up 107 points. They said that Gillespie won the meet three straight years, 74, 75, and 76, breaking Carlinville's skid. When you talk to Jerry Grandoni and the members of that team, they take a tremendous amount of pride in that 1976 team in particular. They remember what the weather was like that night, how the crowd was like. Because that was a real high point in Gillespie High School sports from 72 to 76, and this is courtesy of Dave Griffel, who is a member of that team. The football team went 45-7, went to the 1976 state title game. The basketball teams were very good at that time. Grandoni also coached basketball in that period. I think he won county in 1972 in basketball. The 1976 Gillespie team, to me, is probably the greatest single track team in Macoupin County history, certainly up to the era that I wrote about. And I think, you know, we always think of a lot of people, you can't have Carnival without Gillespie.
Right.
And the Jokisch-Grandoni rivalry was very respectful. That's something I think people should appreciate about track, the sportsmanship of track. A number of the athletes talk about how sportsmanlike the meets were, how you were friends with people. You wanted to beat them. You wanted to beat them badly, but you were friends. It was a very respectful thing, not only for the coaches but the athletes as well. I think that's one of the overriding things about track in Macoupin County and elsewhere.
That's very interesting. And obviously, when you put on an event such as that, the number of volunteers that are required for a track meet, I mean, it's such a large number of people. Do you have any idea, were you able to figure out how many people, like say like in 1908, you know, like back then, were there as many people volunteering to help like as there are in modern times?
There are a lot of volunteers, and one of the most important positions at the time was the announcer for the meet. And they usually had celebrities for the announcer. Howard Knotts was one of the announcers in the mid-late teens. Howard Knotts was a had been born in Girard, raised in Carville, went to Blackburn College, and became Illinois' only downstate World War I flying ace. Well, he was a celebrity announcer one year. They had Northwestern University professor one year. David Gore, who was from Carnville, had been elected Illinois State Auditor in 1892. At the time, he was one of the highest elective offices in the state. He was a celebrity announcer, I think, in 1911, I believe. I'm doing that from memory. The announcer's position, and me being an old PA announcer, sure, I can relate to that one. But the celebrity announcers were one of the most important things. But there are certainly a number of volunteers. The people really just flocked to this meet, wanted to help out, wanted to be a part of it. Storefronts in Carnville and elsewhere display the medals they got, and some of the medals, the prizes of those early meets were interesting. The merchants donate such things as lamps, a cake, knives, shoes, different bits of clothing, necklaces, little jewel type things. So that's what those athletes are running for in those early years. And I think kind of adds, it may sound hokey to some people. It really adds the charm of it, and I think really says how people felt about it at the time.
I always think of the Carlinville, or the Macoupin County track meet, I should say, being held at Carlinville year after year. Has that always been the case?
It's been usually held at Carlinville, but it was held different places. I know, talking to Jerry Grandoni, he said it was kind of important to get it, you know, get more of a rotating thing, mm-hmm, and it's held different places now. It was held different places early on. The second meet in 1905 was held in Girard. And the Carnville Democrats said there are no instances of rowdyism at that meet. Another paper said that the fans came armed with the most despicable instrument of torture, the tin horn.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And again, the train lines ran to that meet. 1909, I think it was in Gillespie, and that was that year they couldn't. I mentioned the literary events had to be held in a tent because no building was big enough to hold those. I'm doing this off memory. The 1912 meet, I believe, was held in Verdun, and the Staunton paper ripped the competition in the track in Verdun to a it's compared to a very rocky place in the Rocky Mountains or something. said that was just a terrible meet conditions. It's funny, the Staunton paper in the early teens would just rip their athletes and rip the productions and everything. It's really different because Staunton has tremendous fan support, one of the best support fan groups in the county. But where the other places really talked about all their achievements, boy, for 3 or 4 years, though, for whatever reason, the Staunton paper just went off on everything.
Focus on the negative, huh?
Called their athletes a listless and hopeless bunch of erstwhile athletes.
Wow.
Among it. Now, you could never get away with saying that today. With that.
Nope.
Can you imagine the letters you get from parents if you were that in a local
nasty
paper? Oh, my goodness.
It would be nasty.
Yeah.
Tom Emery joining us in our WSMI studio talking about his book on the history of the Macoupin County track meet. And I guess, Tom, before we wrap it up, let folks again know kind of the meaning behind this book, how it came to be, and when people want to purchase it, how can they get their hands on it?
This was something I worked on with Dave Yokish, the longtime Carnival track coach, as well as the late Andy Easton, who many people remember from his coaching at Carnville and Gillespie, but also his sports authority and his research. This is going to benefit all the track teams of Macoupin County High Schools. If you buy a book of this, it will support 100%. All proceeds will go to that high school. I was able to send articles out to area papers this week. They have contact information. If you want more information, contact your local high school office. They may have information, or your local athletic director, because a lot of them are handling that. They cost $10 a piece. They're 84 pages long, illustrated, as you see. And it's not just about track. It also talks about the evolution of life here in Macoupin County, what people did, how people grew up, other things are gone. So it's not just track. If you're not a sports fan, you may find interest in it as well, because it does talk about things. I've tried to work in pop culture, nostalgia, historic facts, tying into things that are going on around the track meet.
How many books have you written now?
That's number 17.
Number 17. Mm-hmm. Well, you do great work. It's always a good read anytime you bring us one of your publications. Thanks for coming in. But more importantly, thanks for writing this book to document the history of the track meet. And we can look for volume 2 and 3 shortly, it sounds like.
Yes. And before I go, I got to say, go nuts. Go lug nuts.
Yeah, go lug nuts.
Yeah, they got off to a slow start this year. But in this part of the country, you're often asked, Cardinals or Cubs? Who do you follow?
Right.
Well, when I'm asked that, I proudly say neither. I follow the Lansing Lugnuts.
Lansing Lugnuts, absolutely. Tom, if you want to stick around, we got a gentleman coming up here. Pete Moyer is going to come up next. And, of course, he has all sorts of world records. He just set one for hula hooping and spinning a basketball on his finger. So we're going to talk to Pete about his latest venture when we come back on Sports Saturday following these messages.
Listen for daytime broadcasts of St. Louis Cardinals baseball on WSMI AM 1540. Brought to you by Save More Pharmacy and Gift Shop on the Square in Verdon. Sloan Implement, your John Deere dealer in Carlinville, Litchfield, Verdon, Hamel, and Vandalia. Madison Communications, your internet source. And by Litchfield Community Savings at State and Union in Litchfield. And for the broadcast schedule of Cardinals baseball, check out our website, WSMIRadio.com.
Are you spring cleaning? Ever wonder how to tackle the stacks of statements and bills? Sign up for Security National Bank's online and e-statements and view them in your internet banking or download them from our secure site. You can then tackle that stack of bills by using our bill pay, which is free when you sign up for e-statements. Call your local branch to find out more information or sign up today. Security National Bank, big enough to serve you, small enough to know you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And at 9:45, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest. In Carlinville and Jacksonville, you'll find it at CarQuest. Cloudy skies for today. Showers likely. We'll have highs in the upper 50s. Showers likely for tonight. We'll have lows of around 50 degrees. Heading into tomorrow, cloudy skies. There still is a chance for some morning rain. We'll have a high Sunday of around 65 degrees. Extended look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies and warmer. Expect highs in the upper 70s. The lows will be in the 60s. At 9:46, we have a temperature reading of 51 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
There are those who go to work in a factory, those who sit in an office from 9 to 5, those who travel to a construction site, and then there are those who wake before dawn, spend their entire day in a field, put their blood, sweat, and tears into their job, and finish the work week long after 40 hours have passed. To the farmers of America, we salute you. This message is brought to you by Teamwork Rehab, getting you back in the game, a division of Hillsborough Area Hospital. Your front door to a world of healthcare.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
And at 9:47, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize and Uncle Ralph.
Tobinot, thank you very much. Let's get some quick scores in for you. Baseball yesterday, Litchfield defeated Greenville 7-4. Hillsborough over Payne of 4-1. Matt Tomazzoli won it. 14 strikeouts yesterday for Tomazzoli in the win. Staunton down Carlinville 9-4. Alton Marquette got past Nokomis 3-0. Southwestern over Roxana 4-1. North Mac defeated Lincolnwood 12-0. Gillespie over Vandalia 2-1. On the softball diamond yesterday, Litchfield over Greenville 4-3. North Mac got past Lincolnwood 13-2. Staunton over Carlinville 3-1. And in girls soccer scores from yesterday, Carlinville blanked Gillespie 3-0. Greenville blanked Pena 4-0. Staunton blanked East Alton Wood River 8-0. And then at the Pleasant Plains Invitational, North Mac and Lutheran a 1-1 draw. Pleasant Plains defeated Litchfield 3-2 and Riverton over Athens 1-0. So those are some of the area scores involving our most local teams from baseball, softball, and soccer yesterday.
And to put Tomazzoli's performance in perspective, if it's a seven-inning game, he struck out 14 of 21 batters.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Not too bad.
That's right. We got a man in our studios right now who's also pretty good at what he does. Pete Moyer is back, and he is just fresh off of yet another world record. You were in here a few weeks ago talking about hula hooping and spinning the basketball, I guess. Yep. Give us the update.
Yep. Well, I still got my finger. Didn't, you know, narrow it down to just a nub or anything. But, yeah, spun a basketball on my pointer finger while hula hooping for 10 minutes.
For 10 minutes.
Pete, let's talk a little bit about that feat. Now, everybody has in their lifetime probably has had a little turn at spinning a hula hoop around their hips, but how in the world do you spin a basketball that long on the end of your finger? I stood there and watched you, and you know, and I know you keep it turning, but
yeah,
that to me is really amazing.
Yeah, no, I've been basketball was definitely my first love before I found juggling, and so I've been pretty good with a ball my whole life, really. And then combined it with a hula hoop just a couple weeks ago and figured, oh, let's go for a record.
Well, you do so many different unique tricks, and it seems like you said you're comfortable with the ball, but you seem to catch on to these very quickly. It doesn't seem to take the amount of time to perfect it that one would think it does.
Yeah. That or I just, you know, spend all my time learning it. But
either way.
One or the other.
Now, you've got a new trick that you're going to be performing coming up in Litchfield for the March of Dimes. Now, you told me this, and I'll allow you to describe it. Usually when you say what you're doing, I can visualize it in my mind, like, all right, yep, I got that. Can't do it, but I can visualize what you're going to do. You told me what you're going to do. I can't even get a picture in my mind of how you're physically going to do this.
Yeah, going to be laying down while juggling 3 raw eggs. And I hold the world record for longest time juggling on my back at 17 minutes, and that's just regular balls. These are eggs, so, you know, kind of high stakes.
How do you, when you're on your back, though, juggling, how do you do it? You think your elbows will be smashing into the ground or your chest? I mean,
yeah.
How does that even work?
You kind of hold your arms above your head and, you know, stretched out, definitely, so you can, it tires you out pretty quick.
I bet.
Let's get back to your spinning a basketball and a hula hoop. Let's get back and talk a little bit, Pete, about what was the old record and how long you actually went that day out at Fusion.
Well, the old record was just 2.5 minutes, and I wanted to go 20 minutes on my 20th birthday just because it sounded good, and ended up going for 10. We were going to have it at the square uptown in Hillsboro. Weather ended up being cold and windy, so... You know, I don't want the hula hoop just whipping around me all day. And, so moved it to Fusion where, you know, it's a little warmer, and went for 10 minutes in front of a nice little audience. And
I would imagine that Fusion enjoys it whenever you say that you've got something you want to do.
Yeah. I don't know if they get any memberships, you know, coming from Germany, you know, from my German fans or anything, but.
What is the response that you get from folks? I mean, I would imagine it's pretty positive because it's such a neat, fun thing.
Yeah. Yesterday, I, as you know, I joggle. I jog plus juggle. So I was running while joggling and had a family, you know, see me. You know, most people just honk and wave and sometimes swerve at me. And, you know, I had a family come out of their house, cheer me on, you know, as I'm running by and, you know, take pictures, stuff like that.
What'd they say? Ma yelled at Paul and said, "Hey, come out here. There's some nut running by here, running and juggling."
Yeah, or they said, "Go inside. There's some nut going by, running and juggling. Lock the doors."
Now, how many, refresh our memories again, how many world records do you hold at this point in time?
Over 200.
Over 200.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. What has been, I guess, your favorite one? Not necessarily the one that was the most difficult, but the one that was just the funnest and neatest for you.
Definitely my favorite is the smallest purchase of gas at a gas pump was the Moto Mart, standing at a pump for 10 minutes trying to get under 4 cents, and I eventually did get 3 cents. So that's one of my favorites.
With $3.60 gas, that's pretty difficult.
That's not easy.
Because that old meter moves pretty quick. You know, still to me, you said a while ago, Pete, when we first started, that you still had your finger. Did that wear on your finger? Or
Yeah. Oh, a lot so. A basketball is probably the best nail filer for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Because the surface of a basketball is rough.
Yeah. I can sit down and spin a basketball for forever, but holding it, you know, outstretched with my arm up, you can really feel.
Yeah, and that finger up like that.
Yeah, you can feel it cramp. And
obviously, your juggling is one of your main things. You're obviously a proficient hula hooper as well. What's the most hula hoops you can have going at one time? Is that something that you've tried?
I haven't really messed around with it much yet. if someone has just an odd amount of hula hoops laying around, I can definitely try it for them. But most I've done is about 10 at the same time.
Oh, that, yeah. Apparently 10 hoops, that's just nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, that's just
standard.
10 hoops. Yeah.
That's 10 hoops, no big deal.
Yeah.
And that of course, would be probably on your arms and...
No, all around my torso, around. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know whether you'd...
Consider me impressed. 10 hula hoops.
Yeah, while juggling.
Well, of course.
That's 11 more than Tim could handle.
Yeah.
To say the least. But yeah, I was amazed whenever Uncle Ralph came in and said that he watched you break this new world record. And that you're just, at the end he just throws in, hey, he was just having conversations with people. I would think that you would have to focus so much to do, I mean, how many different things can your brain do and process at once?
Yeah, and I think the people that were watching eventually got bored after 2 minutes going, okay.
Like, we get it now.
He's got the world record already. How long is this guy going to go? I talked to them a little bit.
But I guess when you're setting world records like you are, you don't want to just break the previous record. You want to go for as long as you can to make it as tough to beat for the next guy.
Yeah. So I was definitely trying to go for – I want to go for 20 minutes. Some of that sounds a little more impressive than 10, but
– Maybe to you.
Yeah, maybe to me. If it's impressive to you, I never know what's impressive or not.
I would say that most of the stuff that you have managed to train yourself to do is impressive. Because me, personally, I can respect. Like, when I saw you on Letterman with the stupid human tricks, I've always loved the stupid human tricks on David Letterman. Because it's so neat to think about the stuff that people – how do you even think to do it in the first place? And then to get yourself trained to actually be able to do it. I mean, it's amazing what, I guess, the human mind and body can do when you focus on something.
Yeah. Yeah, and everything I do definitely takes a lot of practice. It's not, I mean, it may look easy for me, but it is something that I have to practice, not just something I decide to do one day.
Well, I remember when you were on the Letterman show, when you were doing the hula hooping with the pull-ups, you were having a little trouble at first, but the crowd was too quiet.
Yeah, well, the crowd was too loud,
actually. Oh, too loud, that's what it was.
That, and I could just make up excuses all day. The bar was too high, the studio is, less than 60 degrees, and... you can see me warm up my hands before I grab the bar. It's so cold. And, taller bar than I'm used to, a crowd of 500 people cheering. And I did not realize the studio audience is that loud. Watching the show on TV, they don't seem that loud.
Right.
There in person, you can barely hear yourself think.
But you eventually did it.
Oh, eventually, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought they would edit it down or something.
They did not, did they?
Yeah, that to me would be the hardest part of it. You know, you do it like out at Fusion or like you're going to be this next thing at Litchfield. That's one thing, but to be on national TV in front of millions of people and not fall flat on your face, so to speak, would be very, I would think it would be very pressure-packed.
Well, yeah, I'll be on the Ricky Lake Show May 17th, and I already went out and filmed that. So I don't want to spoil it at all, but there's some egg juggling in that, too. There's a world record being set on the show. It's a world record show, and I feel like mine's kind of probably the most boring record out of all the other ones that they have. They have a powerlifting 12-year-old girl, and they have or 11, and then they have a ballerina setting a pirouette world record, a sword swallower. And then they have me, just this guy that juggles and hula hoops at the same time.
Now, you may have not fallen flat on your face in Letterman, but you will be lying flat on your back coming up.
Flat on
my
back.
The March of Dimes.
Yep.
Will this be a world record-setting performance?
As always, yeah.
Is there any other kind, right?
Yeah, really.
Pete, we always love it whenever you come out and tell us about your latest exploits. And the March of Dimes is coming up when in Litchfield?
May 5th.
May 5th.
And I'll probably be there around noon. And who knows how long I'll be going. And, yeah, as Uncle Ralph said, come by with a skillet and, try to catch an egg.
Yeah. And sorry... sorry about the mix-up last Saturday. I didn't realize when I talked to you we were going to have a short show in the county baseball tournament, but worked out all right.
Yeah, it worked. I'm here now.
Yeah.
And next year will be my 21st record, so I probably won't be in the next morning.
I wouldn't think so.
No, that's a...
I'm trying to think of what my record's going to be.
I could think of one record that would be appropriate for your 21st birthday, but it really wouldn't be, I think, to your level of... expectation.
Might not be child appropriate.
That's right.
We'll have two records on my 21st birthday. Right.
Pete Morey, thank you so much for coming in
to
our WSMI studios, and best of luck on May 5th.
Yeah.
Tom Emery, while we still have about 1 minute here, if you want to let folks know again how they can get a hold of your book that documents the history of the Macoupin County track team.
They're being sold to each of the Macoupin County high schools that participate in track in some form, whether they co-op or what have you. Contact those schools, talk to the athletic director or the principal. They'll be able to direct you how to get one. They cost $10 a piece.
Sounds great. Tom Emery, Pete Morey, thank you so much for coming into our WSMI studios. We'll have Cardinal Baseball for you this afternoon at 2:20 on AM 1540. For Tobinot, Uncle Ralph, I am Tim. Sports Saturday is done here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville. We'll talk to you next week.